is the Doomsday Podcast, and in the aftermath of the Cowboys 37-10, is that right, Ed?
That is right.
Ed Warner joining me. Boy, he had post-game duties tonight for ESPN, of course, and Ed has made his way up here, had some big storms move through the area tonight, and a lot of us were worried about that. Our family's tornado was headed toward some of our families, so we were looking at that. But Ed kept focused. He stayed focused. I think that storm stayed clear of Flower Mound, so Ed was able to remain focused. He looked good up in the press box from what I could tell. Ed, this is the team we kind of thought we were seeing in those first three games, and again, I don't want to immediately go, okay, they're back. Everything's fine now. But for one night, in a battle for NFC East supremacy, this team dominated in every sense of the word.
Well, they still have a substantial number of teams in the NFC that have better records. However, fortunately for them, none of those teams are in their division. They lead the division by themselves. And I think you can still fairly raise the question of the quality of this victory. Because once again, they still have no wins against a team with a winning record. The Eagles are now 3-4. So the Cowboys are the only team in the division in the NFC East with a winning record. So, and I think they recognize that, but it was at least, I think, the game they've been trying to play all year in terms of complementary football. You know, they came into this game, remarkably, the only team in the entire NFL, and there's, what, two winless teams going into the week seven. They're the only team in the NFL that had not begun a single offensive series on the opponent's side of the 50-yard line. Well, that changed in quick order tonight. The first two series, because of turnovers created by Jalen Smith and then DeMarcus Lawrence strip sack of Carson Wentz, began at the Eagle 45 and the Eagle 14. And then late in the game when they're closing them out, they got another turnover on the Eagle 15-yard line or 14-yard line. So they scored 21 points off those three opportunities created by the defense. And coming into the game, they'd only scored 10 points off turnovers a whole six games. They had 21 of those tonight.
Yeah, I thought the four turnovers were enormous. And it's interesting. You know, you have said, too, and we'll start with this. On the offensive side of the ball, one of the things you always bring up, you've done it for a couple of years now, when this quarterback sort of imposes his will, you know, it's like, you don't want to open it up. Stretch always gets mad if we're like, oh, run with Dak. But tonight, you can tell, man, this team feeds off him running. When he shows his athleticism, and that one time he got to the goal line and he powered his way in there. Poor Malcolm Jenkins, by the way. He's got to be feeling this night because he got trucked by Zeke. And then he tried to come back in. He didn't want any part of Dak. He's like, I'll kind of come to the side on you. But when Dak... Tonight, I think he had five carries, but it does seem to put some, there's just something about this team. It feeds off that. And then Zeke, you've been calling, stick with the run. They did it tonight. Zeke ends up with a big night. I thought Ed, that run where he just buried Malcolm Jenkins, man who he's a big social justice guy in the league and everything, but boy, he put him, woo, that was an interesting moment in this game, because that reminded me almost of a Bo Jackson type, you know
over Brian Bosworth.
The Bosworth game. Yeah,
he took him on.
It was like the Cam Chancellor play in the preseason when Dak or Zeke kind of made a name for himself as a rookie, being willing to take on the Legion of Boom's biggest threat. I think they are at their best when Dak Prescott plays a physical game at quarterback, and I thought he did that tonight. And it was a little bit of a surprise to me, quite honestly, that they were kind of a run-first team again tonight. That's kind of been their identity for the three previous seasons when they've had Zeke and Dak together. But this year it has seemed, with Kellen Moore, the new offensive coordinator, that they were much more of a throw it first, try to create big plays, score, get ahead, then run the ball. This was kind of the classic Cowboys offense we've seen the last couple of years, where the featured performer is Zeke Elliott. And he delivered 100 yards against the number two rushing defense in football. And Dak was pretty good throwing the ball. They got the play-action game going. You know, the long pass he threw to Amari Cooper for 44 yards was a play that I heard Matt Hasselbeck use to illustrate one of the problems that Dak has had in the play-action game this year, which is he fakes a handoff, he turns his back to the defense, and then he's got to turn all the way around and locate everybody. And throwing the ball back to his left has been an issue. It resulted in the interception he threw against the Packers when he tried to touch pass it over the linebacker to Randall Cobb. But this was a dart, perfectly thrown ball, 44 yards, and he was really good all night. I mean, I think he only had 6 incompletions the entire game.
21-27. You know, it's funny. I think he finished with about 239 yards, Ed. That's just where he needs to be. I mean, these games, you know, he's had some moments, even those losses, where he threw for like one of the top 483 yards or something.
He came into week 7 as the only quarterback in the league who had 2 400-yard passing games. And that's just not – they went 1-1, and actually they've won 2 of the 3 400-yard games he's had. The other one was against the Eagles last year. They've won 2 out of the 3 games where that's happened. But that's really not
– no.
I don't think that's the way they play their best football.
No, in having Amari Cooper back, having those tackles back. Now, I did make – I don't know if you saw my tweet. I had a little fun early. I said they need to get Knight and
Brandon Knight
and Fleming back in there. You know that one moment where the guy came around. Yeah, Eagles had a couple of sacks. And Tyron had 3 sacks. You're right. And Tyron struggled a little bit. He may not be all the way back. But Amari Cooper, 5 catches, 5 targets, over 100 yards. When he's right, he's probably 85-90% of himself tonight. I don't think he was all the way back. But he put so much pressure on the defense just because his routes are just better. He's by far and away the best route runner for the Cowboys. And I would put him up there with, I mean, he's a top 5 route runner in this league.
I mean, I thought when the Cowboys made the trade at about this point last year, right, they were 3-5, and they made the trade for Amari Cooper and gave up a first-round pick. I actually thought it was a justifiable move, giving up your first-round pick, because he was still a young player at 24. It was obviously desperately needed somebody in the passing game that Prescott could trust. And he's clearly been a dominant number one type receiver. He's made everybody else better. He's made the running game more effective. So I think he's totally justified that trade.
So we had a chance to visit with Amari Cooper in the locker room. And Amari, very soft-spoken guy, but every once in a while he'll say something that really grabs your attention. And what he said about what he and Zeke Elliott bring to this offense was pretty remarkable. Here's Amari.
I can ball out in the same game that Zeke balls out in. We'll never lose.
Why do you think you have so much success against the Eagles?
Me?
Yeah, you.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a coincidence or what, but I don't know.
Could you sense that Jalen was getting a little frustrated out there? Some of the corners?
Nah, not really.
Does it inspire you when you saw Zeke run over Malcolm Jenkins? Does that kind of inspire the rest of the offense?
I didn't see it.
Did you see a replay of it?
No, I don't even know. Yeah. I don't know what play you're talking about. I didn't see it.
Oh,
seriously.
Okay. It was the one that called down at the 1 yard line. You get a look at that.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. I'll answer it next time.
Okay.
Even if you felt better, I'm sure you're still dealing with some pain. Just how does adrenaline play a role in that? I mean, when you get into a flow, do you even feel it anymore?
You do. It's like, you know, when you get the ball, it's crazy because you really want the ball, obviously, as an offensive player who, you know, makes his hay with the ball in his hands. But it's crazy. When you get the ball and you actually get tackled, that's when you actually feel your injuries because, you know, you go to the ground and you make hard plays and stuff like that. It's like every time I get the ball, I kind of feel a little something. So I have to, you know, take a couple of plays and just wait until the instant pain goes away. So.
Y'all as an offense, the defense can give you those short fields.
That's, I mean, it means a lot to us. Anytime you have a short field, the chances of you scoring increases dramatically.
So, I mean, it's very important to us. That's what we want the defense to do, make our chances of scoring a lot easier.
How nice is it to go into the bye week with a win like this, ending with three games skinned? Must leave a nice taste in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, you never really want to go into a bye week in a losing effort because you might not get those extra days off. So.
For your quad situation, though, is the bye coming at a good time for you?
Oh, yeah, it's coming at a perfect time. Couldn't have came at a better time.
Amari, you guys struggled to get off just fast for the last few games. Just, you guys can do that on the team on both sides. And, you know, how dangerous does that make you guys when you can do that?
It makes us real dangerous. I mean, obviously, I mean, if you get off to a fast start, you can still lose the game, but the chance of you winning the game is much higher, so it's very important for us to do that.
A year ago at this time, you had, like, two straight byes and had to wait a while to actually get to play with the Cowboys. I mean, can you think about that at all, just how long it's been this last year or so, how quickly it passed?
You said last year around this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, actually, for some reason. Because I see, you know, I never thought about players getting traded before I got traded. Like, I just never crossed my mind to think about it. But when I got traded, I started seeing, every time I saw another player get traded, I was like, wow, they don't, you know, they have to come in. Like, for example, a player like Jalen Ramsey, you know, he just got traded. He has to play.
Right.
He had to play today. I didn't see the game, but I know he was playing. He probably doesn't really know much about, you know, what they're trying to do on defense. But when I got traded, it was a bye week. It couldn't have been at a more perfect time because I got a chance to learn the offense and really come in when I did get a chance to play and know the offense and actually do pretty good.
Now that you're right around a full year with the Cowboys, how different has the last year been than what you expected when you were traded here?
It's a good question. I wouldn't say it's been too far off from what I expected, you know. I expected to come in here and be a playmaker and help this offense and help us win games. And I think I've done some of that so far.
How do you feel about the way – I mean, I remember you talking about this last year, just kind of, you know, I just got here, just kind of trying to feel my way through this. And at this point, how do you feel about your role and your voice in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, they look at me as a guy who's going to go out there and make plays. You know what I'm saying? Third down situations. When my number is called, they expect me to go out there and make those plays, and I expect that out of myself. And obviously, the more you make those plays in those crucial situations, the more you'll get the opportunity to make those plays. And that's what I want to be known and remembered as, a guy who made those plays in crunch time. All right,
it's 4-1 in your own 49, and it's 14-7, and Garrett goes for it. What are your thoughts when he takes a chance like that?
Yeah, I remember my thoughts vividly, actually, at that exact moment. I was like, we're going to get it. You know, when he went for it, I was like, you know, I think that's the right call, and I know we're going to get it.
All right, here he was, Amari Cooper. And, Ed, Amari Cooper shows back up, played, what, four snaps against the Jets. Then they were not able to really – by the way, you can hear some thunder as we record this. This is some major weather moving into Tarrant County as we are in this beautiful silver sweet level.
We are going down with this baby.
We are. We're going to be the last people at AT&T Stadium. But this place feels pretty safe. I mean, Ed, I don't want to jinx us, but don't you feel safe in here?
It seems like it's withstanding all that Mother Nature can throw at it.
Yeah.
Exceedingly well at the moment.
I'm worried about the artwork.
I'm wondering how many more margaritas are in that refrigerator over there.
I have not seen any. I have not seen any of those. Now, Ed, good to hear from Amari there.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable, though, the amount of players who made it back into this lineup after a lot of them being out last week.
Yeah, the Eagles were not so fortunate. You know, a lot of their key players missed the game. Jason Peters, our left tackle, being among them. But they did get some guys back. Jalen Mills, starting corner, played for the first time in 11 months. But, yeah, the thing that got my attention, you know, I was out there on Thursday covering the Cowboys at the Star for ESPN, and it really got my attention that the Cowboys were taking this game very seriously because essentially they emptied the training room late in the week. When at the beginning of the week, as they started their preparations for the Eagles, they were missing seven starters out injured, not practicing for 2 days. the fact that they got everybody on the field except for Anthony Brown really spoke to me about just exactly how important they thought this game was. And so I think the fact that Leo Collins may not have been completely healthy and Tyron Smith may not have been, Byron Jones, I was surprised to see him play, and Amari Cooper. I mean, he put him in a bad situation last week. They put Devin Smith down, inactive, and then Amari Cooper tells him he's okay with his quad injury. He re-aggravates it on the first play, last three snaps, and he's out of the game. Left them shorthanded when they were already without their starting defensive tackle or starting offensive tackle. So, yeah, it was important for them to work those guys and practice hard on Friday, make sure they felt like they're very confident that they can make it through the game, and they all did.
Cooper's pretty impressive. I mean, some of those double moves, Eagles didn't really have a lot of answers for him. And then Dak, you've already brought it up, Dak down the boundary, Dak laid a gorgeous pass in for him. Dak 21 for 27. When Dak has about 239 yards passing like he did tonight, that's about the right number for him. And it really seemed to work out for him. Good performance by the running backs. I mean, I thought, Ed, the one thing I know you wanted to talk about it that I'll bring up, this Maher that you never know, there's 35 to 40-yard field goals you don't feel great about with him. But other than, I mean, Greg the Leg, you know, we've always talked about
Sebastian Janikowski.
Sebastian, we've talked about. But when it comes to the 60 and over crowd.
I'm almost there, by the way.
You're sneaking up on it. I wasn't going to make that joke, but you made it for me. But
it's less painful that way.
This is an NFL record now. He has the most field goals over 60 yards in NFL history.
And he's the first guy to make 60-yarders in back-to-back games in NFL history. So I think Jason Garrett feels pretty good about keeping him on the roster when there might have been an interest in pursuing other kickers if there was any worthwhile out there.
You know, as we survive the storm that has overtaken the Metroplex, I do want to talk about this, Ed. You and I both heard it. We both reported. I wrote columns about this. I even brought up our buddy Witten. You remember us before the season even started? Would Witten be a future head coach candidate for the Cowboys? And I started to kind of, in a column I wrote for PressBox DFW, even ponder, could Witten be the head coach next season? You know, you remember, you saw that clip this week of him getting into somebody on the sideline. I think it was...
Can't be settling for field goals. Yeah.
And he kind of had a real head coach feel about it. If the Cowboys lost this game, as you said earlier in this podcast, the Doomsday Podcast, I think we both agree, probably they weren't going to throw Jason overboard, but boy, it was going to be headed that way if they lost to the Eagles. And there's a whole different feeling. Now, this fan base is a little conflicted because there were members of this fan base, I believe, that were a little, didn't know exactly what they were leaning tonight, desperately wanting Garrett to be fired. And yet, they win a game, they win big, and everybody feels good again. And I think winning causes even the fan base that maybe doesn't care for Garrett, at some point, you want to win. It's the Eagles. You got to, you know, so it is interesting. This going into the bye week, this is going to take on a completely different kind of feeling.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that they've avoided is speculation about the head coach. I mean, I was talking to Jason Witten earlier in the week in the locker room, and he was talking about how, you know, the Cowboys rebounded last year from a 3-5 start. And as we said, made the playoffs, won the division, won a home game. And I kind of caught him by surprise because I said, yeah, but they fired a coach, not the head coach, but they fired a coach, and they gave up a number one pick to bring in Amari Cooper. So they're very proactive about it. So I think Jerry would have definitely been asked after this game tonight, what about his confidence level in Garrett? I don't think he would have fired him because I don't think we've seen the quit in this team that we saw when Wade Phillips was dismissed in the middle of the season, the first time Jerry's ever changed coaches in the middle of the season. And Jerry's been there at the end for every, hey, thank you for everything you've done handshake, right, with every coach from Tom Landry on. So I don't think he would have fired Jason. He doesn't want to fire Jason. He wants Jason to succeed. Jerry's a very stubborn man. He doesn't think you've made a mistake until you admit you have. And so he tries to avoid that at all costs. But this would have been a very different bye week. I think the players spoke to that. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott said it was important to win the game the way they won the game, and it was important to win the game to give them confidence going into the bye that they can make a run in the second half. And the second half of the season is going to be a lot more challenging in terms of the quality of the opponents they play than the first half has been.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I wanted you to hear this because Jerry says something really funny to the newest member of the Morning News, who's doing a nice job. This Gelkin, he's a nice guy. He seems like a good young writer. But Gelkin wanted to know, would Jerry, after a win like this, why wouldn't he maybe give Jason Garrett an extension? And Jerry,
he wouldn't give him one at 3-0. He's not giving him one at 4-3.
But Jerry had an interesting response. Let's hear from Jerry, and you'll hear Ed. I know you love it when I get involved with Jerry.
I'm always amazed at how you always wind up being directly behind Jerry in these scrums.
Well, they've got more security down there today. He's trying to block me, but yeah, that's the only place I could get because Shireen, longtime Star Telegram, now in that Hall of Fame you're in, that McCann thing. And
McCann thing. It's only the most prestigious award I've won, but the McCann thing.
I'm sorry. Quickly dismissed. I just can't think of the guy's first name.
Dick McCann.
Dick McCann, good man. But, boy, she slapped my arm today. Look, kind of slapped
there's a lot
me.
Of physicality like in the media
she
today.
She slapped me. Boy, somebody got into it with you.
Yeah.
They were like, Ed, get out of the way. And I think you kind of, you let them, hey, it's like, if you want this spot, get here earlier.
Right.
I mean, I'm standing up here. Am I supposed to, that's what I've always wondered as a writer. Am I only here to help whatever. I don't.
Ask questions for the photographers, the television photographers.
They're not asking anything, yet they want you to get out of their way. But yet
they need a clean shot.
The impetus for these answers, these sound bites they're using. It's frustrating. It is.
Let's listen to Jerry.
Let's do it. Let's listen to Jerry Jones. Here he is.
You feel like you kind of regained your identity a little bit, Jerry, with running the ball like you did. You know, it just seems like when Dak doesn't have to throw for 400 yards or something, you guys have more success.
Well, a lot works when Zeke can physically run the ball. I thought Zeke just appeared to be at an extra strength or an extra physical tonight. And a lot of that has to do with the blocking in the line, and we did a good job of that, I can tell you, in our line. They'll grade good for this. But there's no doubt that being what we'd like to be, and that is use that line, use Zeke, do that. But it's also inspirational to see that Cooper, although it got called back, make a play like that he made in the end zone. And also run a route that he ran out there. And that's special stuff. And there's no question we got better when we got Amari Cooper.
You brought Cooper up, when are you going to pay him?
What?
You brought up Cooper, when are you going to pay him?
Well, I'm going to pay everybody. I may be calling on my friend for a little help.
You say everybody, give us money too.
Right. Well, I hear you. And by the way, I admire you for asking.
A few weeks ago, people were calling for your kicker's job, calling for him to be replaced. Two-part question. What do you think of how he responded? And also, does that kind of reflect how quickly things can change and why it's prudent to be patient when it comes to such decisions?
Well, anytime you are battling with your consistency, then I think that gets recognized, it gets noted. And I know that it's a part of what a kicker wants to work on the best. There has never been any doubt in our mind about the strength of this kicker's leg. He can do that. And matter of fact, I'd almost have him back there at 60 rather than 2. Seriously. And but that's not the point. And I think this should give his team, gives me, when he's kicked three field goals over 60 yards, I think that's a record in the NFL. Something makes me feel better when he steps up there and kicks it. But, I said the other time, I think we've got a team that shouldn't rely on field goals. We ought to try with our line and our talent, we ought to try to get touchdowns. And I know everybody thinks that's trite. But mentally, that can be an advantage. Is just to say, look, we're gonna go ahead and get this thing in them.
What does this say about your team and their support for Garrett? I mean, I know you back Garrett all week, yeah. But there's been a lot of talk about his job and the players consistently fight for him.
I don't ever see that. I'll see a disgruntled player every now and then. That's not uncommon on any. In any sport, but I don't see, I haven't seen him lose support of this team.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I have not.
Team? Right, I
say, well, it says not.
Mean,
it says
they have
exactly
supported him and fought for him.
Exactly, and rest assured, that's my top box to check. Right there, it really is, and he's been able to do that. He gets a lot of exposure with players. A lot of exposure in many ways of teams' activity, teams' work, as well as off the field. So he gets a lot of exposure. He's really got a wide surface of people taking shots at him at the team level. And so when you see him pass those kinds of tests year after year, that'll give you some good feeling about your coach.
When you say at the team level, you mean inside the organization?
Any place. But head coach, right there beside him, the offensive coordinator, the play caller, they're all going to get a lot of shots from time to time because we all know it doesn't go right at all. And so get ready. But I've seen him, and I've seen him handle it, and but I've not seen a concern, and I've experienced it, to where players, key players, have an issue with the coach. I haven't seen that with Garrett.
Would you be comfortable extending him today based on everything you know about him and everything he's done, or is that still you want to see how the rest of the season goes just in terms of pure comfort?
Do you need my health examination as well? My health record?
That wouldn't be necessary.
I wouldn't be talking about that. I'm not going to talk about that, and you know I'm not. Really, I'm not.
Okay.
Thank you, though. Thank you.
Last year, you made the big trade from our trade deadline's coming up. Will you guys listen, look at anything, any positions?
I think probably knowing that we had at this time, this time last year in the vicinity, we had some idea that we might be getting to talk about them all. Based on what we have a sense of that you might look at, I don't see the likelihood that it was anywhere near the likelihood. Matter of fact, probably not even in the same universe as likelihood that we will do something like Amari or, frankly, anything close to it.
You know, they had been kind of slowing Lawrence down a little bit these last few weeks, or he hadn't put up the numbers. How big was that to get that strip sack early and kind of set the tone?
Yeah. Well, one thing we had seen from Lawrence is we'd seen his motor, we'd seen his heart, we'd seen him where all of that is, and of course we've got a real respect for him physically. And with the attention he gets, just have always been more worried about getting someone, and we have it, additional that they could have to concentrate on. I'm talking about the offensive coordinators. That's what we would never have had a concern about, whether he's getting his or whether he will ultimately cause the pressure or make the pressure himself. So bottom line is I'm not concerned and haven't been about Lawrence. I get concerned on any of these guys about getting bunged up or injury. I do, because they're in the roughest game of all in there in the interior on the defensive line.
All right, there he was, Jerry Jones, and had some interesting things to say there. And he talked about how this was a, quote, confidence builder for the Cowboys. And I just think Jerry was, this reminded him of what he thought this team could be. And he did. He was very supportive of Jason and the fact that these guys, boy, really play for Jason. And while Clarence...
Unlike the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Clarence really pushed him on that issue. These guys never give up on him. But he did. He did go ahead and say that. Ed, I want to bring up this before we get to the defense. This is a guy we've had on our podcast. His name is Doug Peters. You know, I was able to book him a couple years ago after he won the Super Bowl. And I think everybody, no, Ed, you got him. You've known Doug for a while.
Our very early podcast, one of our first few weeks, he was our guest.
He was good. He was good.
The Super Bowl. He's at his son's baseball game or something, I think.
We got Doug Peterson on, and boy, you did a great job with that. But Doug came out after that last game and quickly issued kind of a guarantee.
Well, he didn't use the word guarantee. He said they were going to, he's just kind of matter-of-factly said, they're going to win the game, and when they do, they're going to be in first place in the NFC.
There he goes. But, I mean, that's pretty much a guarantee.
It wasn't exactly Joe Namath, but it was close enough.
It was close enough. And, boy, and D-Law, Lawrence kind of spoke, hey, is he going to play?
That was on Friday.
Is he going to be out there?
D-Law, let me just say, you hadn't had a single sack in 9 games Eagles. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl ring as Brett Favre's backup as a player, and he won a Super Bowl as a very bold head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I don't see too many recent Super Bowls around here. So, just in fairness to Doug Peterson.
No, I mean, D-Law was born. Do we think he was born in 1995? I don't know. I don't know if he was joined us yet when the Cowboys last won their Super Bowl. I think he probably had. I think he was about 2 or 3 years old. But, Ed, what do you think about Peterson, what he said, and then what happened in this game? Big answer from the Cowboys. Do you see, and I saw some, thing written in Philly about how Dak was a better leader this week. They had been around Dak, and Dak was, they liked Dak as a leader as opposed to
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because these guys are always going to be compared because Wentz was the second overall pick in the same draft where Dak went 135th in the fourth round. And, I mean, Dak's outperformed the guy. He's won 4 of the 6 head-to-head meetings. He's got far better statistics over the course of their early careers. He's won a playoff game. Wentz has a Super Bowl ring, but he didn't win it. He played a part in it, but he didn't win. He hasn't ever won a playoff game. He hasn't started a playoff game. Hadn't finished a season in the last 2. So Dak's been a very durable player. He's outperformed Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz has already gotten his second big contract. Dak's still waiting for his first big contract in the NFL. I think the point was that Dak's a great leader. He runs this team in a way that Wentz doesn't in Philadelphia. And I think Wentz is deferential to a lot of guys because they've accomplished more in the huddle than he has, whereas Dak has won as much as anybody here has, right? None of these guys have really accomplished anything without Dak. I mean, Travis Frederick and Zach Martin and Tyron Smith played with Romo, and they won a playoff game, but they've done that with Dak, too. So it's not like they're any more accomplished than he is, and he's got great intangibles. To me, the thing that really spoke to what a great leader Dak Prescott is was that he was able to come in as a rookie fourth-round pick in unexpected circumstances and win over the locker room and the coaching staff with his style of leadership, with his ability to play and win games, to the point that Tony Romo never got a chance to get back on the field after being a 10-year starter and basically holding all of his passing records in franchise history with this franchise. To me, that says everything about Dak. More than anything he's done since was his ability to take that job from Tony Romo and win the locker room of the coaching staff to the point Romo never got back on the field again.
Yeah, Romo didn't, and Romo's in the broadcast booth doing pretty well as we speak. But it was even brought up, by the way, would Romo get the call in KC? Would Andy Reid call him like Andy Reid years ago called Aikman when he was in Philly? And I don't know. I think Romo truly is kind of enjoying it, and he kind of gets to, you know, kind of hang out and play a little golf occasionally and all that kind of thing. I don't think he's coming back. But I think what Dak was tonight. This is what he needs to do. 21 for 27, 239 yards and a touchdown. Now, I don't know what he was doing on this interception. I mean, what are they doing? They're up 30-10.
He said he got a little greedy on that play. Kind of feeling himself, smelling himself, as he said a couple weeks ago.
Did you see the official? Did you see what happened on that play? Did you see what the official did? The official puts up signal for a touchdown. It was like, are you doing?
That wasn't even to me the most comical part of that play. The most comical part of the play was when the Philadelphia defender intercepted the ball. He decided at the last minute to try and run it out, and his own teammates were trying to tackle him in the end zone to prevent it.
There was a high school play like that. I don't know if you saw this on ESPN, where the guy went the wrong way, and he ran all the way. His teammate tackled him at the 5-yard line. Yeah, it just happened. All right, let's look at, Ed, the defense. Before we do that, though, I want to thank my bookie. Of course, the Hodges brothers, Hodges Capital, thank you. Thank you for what you do. I mean, this is a if you want to invest and you want to put it in things that you want to have a guy who shows up on CNBC and is with Maria Bartolomola. What is her name? Maria. She's great. She's great. But, I mean, somebody that goes on there and does huge work. You want to be on with Craig Hodges and Clark Hodges. Hodges Capital, they are backing us like no other. And they have been incredible for us. And we appreciate them. Also want to thank MyBookie. And here's the deal. Up to $1,000 on the first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit. Use the promo code Doomsday, Doomsday, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Doomsday, Doomsday, when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid. All right, Ed, we need to visit a little bit about the defense. And tonight, there was an interception late. There were all sorts of fumbles. I thought that early one where Jalen Smith forced Goddard to fumble that. It was a big play early in the game. It helped stake them to a 14-0 lead. And there's some historical consequence. There's some historical numbers that with this four-takeaway game, this has not been a huge takeaway defense the last couple of years, last few years, but tonight four takeaways. It was huge. They capitalized in a big way. What are the historical implications here?
First four takeaway game for the Dallas defense since 2013 against the Giants. So 6 years ago was the last time they had a four turnover game. 37 points, the most points they've scored in a game this year. They got rushing touchdowns from Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Tavon Austin. The first time in franchise history, they've had a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver all run for a touchdown in the same game. And we all know Dak Prescott surpassed the great Roger Staubach in rushing touchdowns by a quarterback in franchise history with his 21st tonight.
Yeah.
Roger still has a slight lead in Super Bowl rings, best I can tell. I'm still working on that, but I think that's true.
Just a couple. I don't want to. That's my hero.
But the point you made, I think, this was a team that came into this game. We talked about the fact they had no short fields, no cheap points, right? Defense wasn't creating any turnovers. 63 possessions, six games. and never began a possession on the opponent's side of the field. And in this game, the first two Philadelphia possessions were catastrophic, both ending in turnovers in their own end of the field, the Cowboys turning both into quick touchdowns. So 15 plays into the game, the Cowboys have a 14-0 lead, and now they get to play the rest of the game the way they want to on both sides of the ball. And that's why I think we saw the best in terms of complementary football from the Cowboys tonight. They could run the football first. That's their identity, has been ever since they drafted Zeke Elliott fourth overall. And on defense, they could rush the passer, and they were able to create a team that's been had a minus 38 point differential in the first half the last 3 weeks. The worst in the NFL. They're the worst first half team in the NFL the last 3 weeks while they accumulated this three-game losing streak. Tonight, they got a 20-point lead on the Eagles. And the challenge in the second half was, can you hold it without Robert Quinn, who went out, without Leighton Vander Esch, who went out? And by the way, both those injuries did not seem significant in terms of them being ready 2 weeks from now to play the Giants.
Yeah, they'll have some time off now. You want to go into the bye with a some confidence, and they certainly do have it. And I thought it was good that Lawrence responded to kind of calling out Peterson. You're totally right, what you pointed out earlier. He had not done much this season, although there's a lot of D-Law apologists around here who are just like, oh, he's been great. He's got a high motor. That's what Jerry talked about. He really had a high motor.
A lot of good double teams, triple teams.
A lot of double teams. But strip sack was nice.
Huge.
Early. I thought the linebackers played well.
That was one of the most remarkable stats to me was DeMarcus Lawrence had no sacks in 9 games until tonight.
Versus their most hated rival. I mean,
he had, if you look at his list, Kirk Cousins, when he was with the Redskins, he'd sacked 5 times, more than any other quarterback. Eli Manning, 4 times. You'd expect the division quarterbacks he plays twice a year to be 1, 2, and 3 on that list. And here were the Eagles. They had never allowed DeMarcus Lawrence a sack. Lane Johnson, the right tackle, had dominated him. And in this game, he came through in a big moment.
Did come through and made a big play there. Ed, one thing we need to do is we need to hear from the man who grades every aspect of this team. Special teams. Last week, we had Fs for the offensive game plans. He gave the coaches on the offensive side of the ball, and the coaches on the defensive side of the ball gave them all Fs. Glenn Stretch Smith. It is now time to hear from him, his grades from this 37-10 victory for the Cowboys. Here he is.
Stretch, you were pretty fired up last week. In fact, both sides of the ball, you're usually, you don't go out of your way to be critical of the coaches, but you were critical of both sides. This was a complete effort tonight, and the Cowboys take this thing 37-10. This thing was not really in doubt, especially at the end of the first half. Let's start with, let's start with the special teams. You know, we haven't used to, boy, get really fired up about special teams. Haven't talked a ton about special teams this year, but Stretch, having a kicker with some kind of insane leg like this one, Maher, that can kick something like that, what does that do for a team? And then, you know, hitting that 63-yarder, but NFL record now for the most over 60. He's got 3. That's an NFL record. What does that do for a team? That really seemed like they fed off that at the end of the first half.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I think you saw a coaching staff that went out and was aggressive from the start to the finish. And I was openly critical last weekend about the game plan, about the lack of being prepared, about Jason not having the team prepared. And you know what? That was the opposite. And so when you can go out, Matt, and you can be aggressive when you're running the football, when your play action is working. And I think they got the ball right there with, I want to say it was 22 seconds left in the half, and they got off like 6 plays with 1 timeout and were able to put themselves in a position, you know, to line him up and let him hit that 63-yarder. You know, you got to give kudos to the coaching staff, and you got to give kudos to everybody on the special teams. I mean, how they blocked it. I thought they did a nice job punting the football. They did a nice job covering punts. So all in all, special teams wise, you got to give that group an A. Consistency, we'll see week to week, but this week it was an A.
An A. I like it. A special teams group warrants an A. Boy, you Stretch, you should see it. I can see from up here in this beautiful suite up on the silver level where we're recording this. I can see Ed Werder's crew. Angry Ed Werder tonight. Somebody got one of his shots, and you should have seen him. Stretch, even after a happy locker room, this was an angry Ed Werder we encountered this evening. So, yeah, I think hopefully everything will kind of calm down. Let's roll through this. Boy, after the storms, and boy, a lot of us were having trouble paying attention to this game because some of our neighborhoods were in the path of this thing. So we've been watching it. Stretch, I want to get your take on Dak's play. My feeling is that Dak, 21-27, this is more where he's comfortable, not having to throw for 400 yards or something like this. This seems like a winning combination when he throws for about 239 and a touchdown. What do you think of Dak's play this evening?
Well, I think he managed the game. I'm still a little concerned at the lack of his accuracy with some of his throws. He had a post open again tonight. The ball was low, should have been a touchdown. He had a slant, the ball was low, and then he throws the sluggo up the boundary to Cooper. Literally, it was one of the best throws I've seen him make all year. Consistency in his ball placement has got to get better. But I like how he managed the game. When you get short fields, you got to go stick the ball in the end zone. And I think that's exactly what he did. He ran tough. Is that something I want to see him do every week? As far as running the quarterback, absolutely not. But you know, you got to take what the defense gives you. And Philadelphia's front seven, let's be honest, guys, is as good a front seven as there is in the league. And so to be able to go and have that kind of night against a front seven and a Philadelphia, especially their front seven, which I thought their secondary didn't play bad. Skandrick did some things, but I still think Dak's play, you got to give him an A for what he did. It's a borderline A. I wish he was a little more accurate with the football, but as far as managing the football team, managing the game, that's exactly what he did.
All right, and over on the running back with Zeke, absolutely trucked Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, that'll inspire a team when you see a running back put that kind of force and determination and just run over a player. I think that one, he got down there to the 1 yard line. They ended up making him, and then of course he got it on the next play, the running back play with Zeke, and Tony P, the man, Tony Pollard. What'd you make of that?
Tony Pollard made one of the best runs of the night. I mean, it really was a heck of a run. And Zeke is what Zeke, you know, to me, what he is. I mean, he ran the ball physical tonight. I mean, 22 carries, right at 111 yards, 5 yards a snap. But again, when you think about this front seven and as physical as Philadelphia's front seven is, you know, you knew you were going to have to go bloody their nose tonight. And that's exactly what they did. I'm giving those running backs an A. Matt, I'm going right to the tight ends. I thought the tight ends blocked really physical on the edge. I've been openly critical about Schultz. He did a nice job tonight on some of those combination blocks. So, I mean, really a great effort, I thought, by the backs, by the tight ends. I'm going to give the tight ends a B+, only because they had a couple holding penalties. But they blocked well. The backs ran well. A great job by that group of guys.
Okay, strong grade for the tight end and the running backs. Let's look at the O-line. I did see Tyron Smith. They blew by him. You're right. At front seven, they got some talented defensive ends. They got some pretty good tackles in there. They love to go get them a Florida State player. And a couple of former Florida State players in there doing a nice job, at least one that I saw. And then, of course, Mississippi State puts out some big-time linemen. What did you see from the offensive line?
Well, I thought other than Tyron, and again, we got to remember, I'm going to say we're playing with about an 80% Tyron Smith. He got beat on the edge by Barnett a couple times. But all in all, when you look at the group across the board, they played really physical. And I'm talking about they were getting second-level blocks. They were getting off on the linebackers. There were a couple times that, you know, Zeke got kind of tripped up by the safety. Their safeties tackle pretty well, but he did a night. That offensive line really was physical tonight. And any time you can go punch somebody in the mouth and impose your will, run the ball versus eight-man fronts, to me, that speaks volumes about the attitude, about kind of what they did as far as going back. I'm sure going back to the drawing board after what happened in New York and really bloodying their nose. If it wasn't for the holding calls, I would give this group a very high grade. But as it is, I'm going to give that group a B and a nice job tonight, a really hard-had effort.
Yeah, I like your Connor Williams, by the way, when he gets out there in space. That's an athletic dude.
Yeah, he got a heck of a second-level block. So,
yeah.
You know, those guys, he and Zach Martin really played well. Collins held his own, and obviously we know what Frederick is.
All right, Stretch, see if you can find higher ground there. We're getting a little feedback there. I do want to say this: these wide receivers, Amari comes out, and we didn't know if he'd be full strength or not. I think they kind of tried to pace him a little bit in this game. In fact, I looked out there sometimes. I'd see Cobb. I'd see Gallup without Amari on the field. But he did make huge plays in this game. The double move. He's got to watch that offensive pass interference. The man put a little shove on him down there around the goal line. He did get caught for OPI. But what did you make of the wide receivers?
Well, I love this group. I mean, I really do. I think that obviously Cooper is a great route runner. He is a very polished route runner. You watch how he moves his shoulders, how he looks, how he moves his head. I mean, he's a great double move runner. You know, even Austin made a great play tonight. I think this group overall is a very good group. When Cobb is healthy, when they're healthy, they're as formidable as anybody in the league. And tonight, I'm going to say Amari was at about 85%. But they did a great job. Got to give that group an A as well. Great job of running routes.
21.2 yards per catch. That's not bad. That's not bad for Amari Cooper. Okay, let's look at the defensive side of the ball. Van Der Esch had done some pretty good things in this game when the Wolf Howl had gone up. Had a couple of moments where he struggled, but he got injured, got knocked out of this ball game. Let's start with those linebackers. Jalen got called for one hands to the face, and it was pretty obvious that was a hands to the face and neck area. But the man, you know, he'll go in there and put a lick on you. What do you think of the linebackers in this game?
Well, this first time I've seen Sean Lee really look like kind of give you glimpses of the old Sean Lee. I mean, he's still a really good tackler. I mean, in the open field, he's really good. Now, I mean, obviously, their tight ends run those deep over routes, and you got Van Der Esch that time. He got beat on a deep over by Goddard. That can happen to any linebacker. Jalen's a good player. Overall, really good effort by the linebacking core. They have corrected their issues that they had 3 weeks ago with the back from Green Bay. I'm going to give that group a B. I really thought that they played well. Now, I will say this. I mean, Van Der Esch got, you know, he got that neck pinned up under him. You hope that is something that, you know, after an off week, a bye week, he'll be able to come back. And you know, that group needs to stay healthy and stay together. But Sean Lee can still tackle in the open field, guys, and he's still got some football left in him.
Sean Lee, boy, getting us. So what did you give that group? Did you give him like a B or B plus?
I gave him a B plus.
Okay, love a good B plus. Now this D line stretch. I thought at least Lawrence, you know, he'd been kind of missing a little bit. He'd been, you know, they say the motor was good. Jerry said tonight that he never doubted the motor, but the production had not really been there recently, and then gets in there with that strip sack early. That had to be a huge moment for him, you know, to make that play and to cause that turnover. What'd you make of that D-line tonight?
Well, they did a great job. I mean, all the way across the board. I mean, Collins, Woods. You saw Quinn went out with, I think he got a little ding, and then you saw Hyder come in there and be able to push the pocket a little bit. Philadelphia's strength, again, I know they were missing Peters, their offensive tackle. They're a pretty good offensive line now, and they do a nice job of protecting. The Cowboys were able to get after him with a four-man rush. Really a nice overall effort tonight. Not great production. I like that he stripped the ball out and got the ball out of there. I like that they got on both of those fumbles. I believe it was Collins that got on both the fumbles. Nice job by the defensive line, and I'm going to give them about what Marinelli would give them, which is a B.
Okay, Marinelli. Well, love those glasses that Marinelli wears. You know, and you could tell he was very frustrated with some of those. There was some unnecessary roughness that they were calling, and he didn't like that. He likes to see a man coming in there strong, but they got him for hitting a defenseless receiver tonight. There were a couple of helmet-to-helmet type things they called. You can tell old Rod does not like that kind of deal, but that's the NFL we live in right now. Okay, secondary. Look at this thing. Now, and by the way, Hyder. Love seeing Hyder get in there with a fumble recovery, the undersized man from Texas Tech. But in a secondary, I want to say this. I saw Heath one time. Actually, I know he got hurt late, but I liked he actually made a tackle when they got in the open field. He took the right angle, and he kind of saved a possible touchdown. That's what a safety is actually supposed to do. And then Jordan Lewis, what'd you think of that? Coming off the corner.
Yeah, I thought Jordan Lewis played well. I thought he played okay. I thought Woods played well. Boy, I'm telling you guys, I'm still concerned with the corners. I'm really, really concerned.
Really?
I am. I'm concerned with Wouzier. I mean, he lets a guy go right up the seam tonight for one of the easiest hole shot throws in cover two that there could be. And I realize if the guy releases inside, your safety ought to be there. But you also ought to be able to get your hands on him. And again, I know they only completed, I think, four balls to receivers because they were throwing the ball to the tight end and the backs tonight. But I'm just telling you guys, these corners, if this team, which I believe this team has talent across the board and as good a talent, and I'm talking about 1 to 53 roster-wise as there is, but the weakness is the corners. It's just not a good group, and I'm really concerned. I like Lewis. I think he's a little undersized. But he can do some things. But Wouzier concerns me, and I've said it from week one, and I'm going to continue to say it as I watch him do some things that just don't look like a real starting corner in his second year in the league. Some mistakes, some things that he still does that concern me. Because of that, I'm giving that group a B.
A B for the secondary, and let's mention old Woods coming up with the interception. Pretty easy pick, but still, with this crew, the few amount of interceptions they get, you gotta hand it to them when they get their hands on the ball. Hey, Sean, come on now. Sean's got to catch that ball late. He's got a chance to have it. They throw it right to him. Catch that football.
Yeah, you'd like for him to catch that ball, but it really is. It some things matter strange, I think, that are going on. But the thought of a team last week got beat by the Jets that whips a team tonight who went up to Green Bay and handled the Packers. I mean, that tells you a lot about the NFL. I mean, it really does. I think it's a week to week league, and here I am giving out F's all over the place last week, and this week the lowest grade I've given out some B's. So, you know, it's a week to week situation.
Yeah, I would say so. Stretch, really appreciate it. You were down there tonight, Channel 8, doing some late night TV. Was Delkus in the house? I mean, or did they have who did they have in there monitoring this stuff?
Yeah, no, they had. I think Delkus is up on. He's up on one of his hunting trips and was out, but they had the entire weather team in there. I went all the way downtown, watched the game. Pulled my highlights. We didn't even get to go on. We, you know what? When there's some serious weather around the Metroplex, Coach, I don't think people want to really hear about the Cowboys. And right now, that's what happened. So it didn't working out. But hey, you know what? Old Stretch, gonna send him a bill anyway. It'll all work out.
I would think you will. Glad you got to get some of this off your chest. I know Dell is probably there. He's probably doing some Facebook and doing some unplugged segments. and he'll be able to may take a stance against the weather. Who knows? Who knows what he'll do? But
the moral compass
of Dallas-Fort Worth, who never knew the leader we never knew we needed. It is Del Hansen. Hey, Stretch, appreciate it. Great work tonight, and appreciate you being with us.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, there he is, Stretch. Not the angry Stretch. Stretch was okay tonight. Ed, even though he drove down to all the way from Fort Worth to WFAA studios, and because of the weather, that never happened.
No, Del Hansen. Show canceled?
Yeah, that one got canceled. So he watched the game, was prepared, broke all the film down, but he did get to share his information with us. Oh. We appreciate that. He needed an outlet tonight, and he had that on the Doomsday podcast. Ed, 14 days away from returning to the Meadowlands. Not a great performance last time they were at the Meadowlands. We both know that. That happened last week, but they go in there against a Giants team that is coming off another loss. I like how Daniel Jones fights. That is a different team than they faced the first time around. I think Saquon's back. It's a little different team. I think after what happened against the Jets, you don't take anything lightly. But coming off a bye, even more time to heal, maybe get Anthony Brown back, maybe have everybody at full strength, maybe get LVE back from the neck injury. We'll see about that one. But Cowboys, for the rest of the schedule, you brought it up. It's a tough schedule, but they have to be feeling so much better after this game.
Well, it's a tough second-half schedule, but it starts with a pillow. I mean, the Giants have changed quarterbacks, obviously, since the Cowboys played in Week 1, going from Eli Manning to rookie Daniel Jones, who's been impressive at times, but he's also typical rookies. If you look at him now, he's got 3 fumbles, and in 5 starts, he's had 7 interceptions and 5 fumbles. Most pressured quarterback in the NFL. So they need Robert Quinn, they need DeMarcus Lawrence, they need Malik Collins to create a lot of pressure up front, create a lot of havoc, indecisiveness, mistakes by a young quarterback that the offense can capitalize on. They definitely need to win that game because the second half of the schedule seems to be a lot harder. They got to play the Vikings, the Rams, the Lions, who have kind of fallen apart the last 6 days, lost 2 games in 6 days. They got to play at the Patriots, which is going to be a huge challenge. So they've got their work cut out. They're going to play at Philly. So they've got their work cut out for them in the second half of the season.
They do. And I tell you, Ed, we're going to have our work cut out for us. We got a big...
Just getting to our cars, I think.
It looks like the weather has calmed down. This is going to be a good time to get out of here. Thanks again to the Nation family, Jim and Sally Nation. You know where they are right now? They weren't here tonight.
Really?
They're in Venice.
Tough life.
Yeah. You know, you can go to Venice if you own a suite at the Cowboys. My fraternity brother, Greg Nation, their son, was here tonight, and he and his lovely family, we thank them for giving us our, you know, studio out here. Ed, great work by you today.
Did you see those housekeeping people come in here and drink those margaritas, by the way?
Saw some people come in here.
How much do you think those cost?
Hated to see them get into the margaritas like they did. But, you know, who am I to say anything? We're going to let them do it. Let them do what they want to do. I thought DJ Ringenberg performed admirably. Thought he did pretty well tonight.
Better than his computer.
Better, yeah, for sure. But I thought he found a way to get through
all the gremlins.
Let's see, see if his sound's worth a damn. And then Frito Friedman.
Is he here? Is he still with us? Haven't seen Frito forever. He doesn't
Frito
come to the games.
He's a good individual. He's a man who goes to church on Sunday mornings, and that's really all you ask for in life.
He works with special needs kids, I see, quite a bit.
He does that. And that's a really good point by you. He does. I don't think you and I spend a lot of time doing that, so that's great that Frito does that. And Frito is back in our studio in Allen putting all this together, and he'll be there till we'll be asleep, and Frito will still be up 3 or 4 this morning putting all this together. Frito Nation Productions.
This is a record. 1:45 in the morning, and we're just wrapping it up.
1:46. 7 a.m. But the reason we did this is so you guys tomorrow morning on your commute could listen to this podcast. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Apple, on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Pandora.
Stitcher?
Stitcher, that's for Android people. There's so many different avenues you can get to us. iHeartRadio, I don't know, I think I made that up. But I think there's so many things you can find us on. Ed, great work by you. DJ, thank you, buddy. And good night, everybody, from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. 37-10, Cowboys win. See you next week.